The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Yes, David O'Sullivan, DC Energy Solutions with us on the line. David, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again this month.
Good morning, Jerry, and good morning, listeners.
Great stuff.
Pleased to be joining you.
It is. We've lots of queries to get to. We'll launch into them straight away. Some of the ones that were left over from the last time. 1970s bungalow with newly installed oil boiler. Would it be a good idea to install solar panels for the hot water? Any other suggestions to go the green route aside from a heat pump? This listener asks.
No problem. This is quite a common question, Jerry, I suppose, because like we always say, you know, heat pumps are a fantastic way to go, but if the budget doesn't allow for it and installing a new condensing oil boiler, then so be it. That's what's installed in the house. And that then, I suppose, for that listener, leaves so many other options which may be affordable and grant funded, such as solar panels for hot water or indeed PV panels for electrical upgrade to the house. So I suppose to answer that question directly, yes, that can be done. Solar panels can be installed for hot water. But I suppose preparing for the future, I might suggest to this homeowner maybe to consider PV panels. There's a grant of up to €2,400. They generate electricity, as we know. It goes into the house with the smart meter install coming. And I mean, we don't want to get into any controversy with that. But once everything is working properly, then I suppose we're in a position where if you're generating electricity for your house, satisfying your hot water demand and satisfying your electricity demand, then the excess that goes to the grid, there will be in the future, and so we're told, I mean continuously told, a remuneration for that excess electricity. So I suppose for that homeowner, that's the starting point. But again, here, insulation to the house, making sure the fabric of the building is to the correct standard.
Another house here gets in touch, another person gets over a house 44 years old. One room of the house had a vinyl floor covering which got discoloured. They discovered there was a lot of condensation underneath. It's the only room where this has happened. They've been told it isn't a leak, it's dampness. Or is it dampness, or what could be causing the issue? Could this, I wonder, to be do with the lack of a damp-proof membrane under the floor, perhaps, maybe, or something along those lines?
Yeah, well, I suppose two parts to that question. I suppose, firstly, if they have been told it's not a leak, then that's confirmation that the heating system, or indeed the hot and cold water throughout the house, is not leaking. That's the start point. So from there, the injury, like you said, it's an examination of what is in place. I mean, 44 years old, they knew how to build them. They built them right. They didn't fall down. But I suppose in modern ways of building things, things are a little bit different. Like you just mentioned there, the DPC, damp-proof membrane. But I suppose There's a couple of fixes which, and I suppose we have carried them out over the years with older houses, and it can change, I suppose. It was a very simple fact. In one house, two fields up, the farmer reclaimed the field, and we're not blaming the farmer, but I suppose the change in water direction meant there was dampness in the house.
Yes.
So I suppose drainage outside. External drainage is a starting point, I feel, for that homeowner, because it just makes sure that there's no water up against the outside of the house.
Yeah.
And obviously there may be measures in place to stop that, but I mean, it may be something that could be blocked. There could be a drain blocked externally, which is causing the water to come towards the house and it's
so outside needs, the situation outside needs to be assessed. That's a starting point.
Definitely a starting point. I would start outside. I wouldn't go pulling up floors and digging holes in the house just yet. Christmas is around the corner. We're not going to get into that. So I suppose, look, starting outside and making sure the water course is taking the right direction, that may help that homeowner.
Yeah, okay. And that's the other. And could ventilation be part of the problem? Or is it unlikely, given it's only happening in one room?
If it's a large volume, it's possibly unlikely. If it's a small volume, there is a system. I suppose there is a situation where it could be the ventilation. But I suppose, you know, if the house was upgraded to the correct standards over the years, such as pumping cavities and insulating attics at 44 years old, it's probably a house that has had that done.
Yeah.
If the ventilation is installed correctly per room, I wouldn't see that underfloor or the vinyl under a floor would hold condensation. It would be water ingress from external or water ingress from inside in the house or something happening. As I said, something has changed. Definitely something has changed. And if something has changed or something has got blocked, it needs to be investigated.
Yeah. Okay. Another listener wants to know, what's the cost of installing a heat pump and a solar system? I suppose it depends how much money you have, David, and what system you go for.
Well, I mean, we start at €1 million, Jerry, and work our way down. But I suppose it's definitely a long-winded answer, which I'll try and shorten as best I can. Look, the starting point for that homeowner is a technical assessment. Is the SEA grant funded along with the works that that homeowner is thinking of doing once the house is built pre-2019, pre-2011 for different installs. So a technical assessment will set that house up in a way to let the installer know exactly when it's to happen to upgrade the house for a heat pump and solar system install. Now, again, every house is different, as you can imagine, Jerry. I know your house is 5,000 square feet, mine isn't.
Sure.
So I suppose, you know, it's going to be specific to the type of house and the age of the house and the age of the system existing. We had an exercise recently where we had a four-bedroom dormer house and a three-bedroom bungalow. And I suppose just to give figures without specifying where those houses sure. are, the homeowners spent just over €22,000 in each circumstance, but there was different work carried out in each house. And I suppose that those are figures that are quite high and quite frightening. But if you take the fact that there's €6,000 of a grant for the air to water and up to €2,400 for the PV install, those homeowners also had cavity insulation and attic insulation, which there was over €3,000 in funding towards as well. So I suppose when we put 22 in a real figure, it cost the homeowner just over €10,000 to bring their house up to an A-rated house. Now, the windows were, in fact, I suppose, in a situation where they didn't need to be replaced. So in older houses, this may be a situation. And I suppose, look, that's where those grants are available through the Super Homes grant with up to 35% funding and individual measure grants for that homeowner. But look, to recap, a starting point is a technical assessment.
Yeah.
That would give them all the information they need.
The ballpark figure that they need. Okay, caller is a 30-year-old Firebird boiler. She got it serviced recently and the serviceman told her its CO2 emissions were better than excellent, proving for her once again they made things better and to last in the old days.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that. That's definitely a valid point. I suppose that you know, more modern equipment, we always say, is made a little less the standard of the older stuff. But I don't think that's the key element here.
Yeah, and
I suppose, look, the key element here is, I suppose, look, that homeowner is getting their boiler serviced. I always go on about it, Jerry, and I think last month and the month before, we were hinting to homeowners to make sure their boilers are serviced for the upcoming winter. And to have a printout like that, then the serviceman has provided her with excellent details to give her information, or to give the homeowner information, sorry, that this is a house that is working properly. This is a boiler that is working efficiently. But I suppose my question back to that homeowner is the house retaining the heat and is it working efficiently in a cost-wise, so that, I suppose, with the rising cost in oil, is the heat being retained in the house?
A camp listener says, I've a Worcester Combi oil boiler for 32 years. I had it serviced once about 12 years ago and it was 92% efficient. Now it's 12 years serviced once. So you'd imagine the efficiency has gone down on that, I'd imagine.
Well, look, I suppose it reflects on the last comment by the previous listener as well, Jerry. 30 years and a 32-year-old boiler. So look, of course, and I said it, they work. And I always say this when it comes to assessing houses. Your technical assessment, going back two steps to the previous homeowner, if your technical assessment comes up with €50,000 worth of work that you have to carry out in order to install a heat pump, it doesn't make sense, Jerry. Why would you do it unless you're doing major, major refurbishments? And then you're into the deep retrofit works, of which there is 35% funding. Push that to one side for a second. But here's a boiler, 92% efficient. Obviously, they have a print off to that effect. I mean, look, the machines that are doing this are calibrated annually, so they are pretty accurate and almost 100% accurate. I mean, this is a boiler. How much use has it had? How many hours has it had? I'm not going to argue with this homeowner, but I suppose what I will say with this homeowner is their boiler is working at that level of efficiency. How efficient is their home? How efficient is it to run the home? If it's a house that's costing two fills of oil a year, even though the boiler is running efficiently, then the home itself starts with the upgrade, not the heating system. And I suppose that's where you look into the grants that are available, external insulation, cavity, attic, you know, upgrade of your windows and doors, floor insulation, and all these things that you would do. Then I suppose installing a new heating system happens with that, and it's mandatory to do so. If you're going to avail of the Super Homes retrofit grants, you must install a heat pump. That's a non-argument to fact. So I suppose, look, that's why I'm saying it's a great comment to have, but I guess, look, my drive here would be make sure you service it every year, not every 12 years.
Yeah, very important that. Okay, another query comes in from a listener which says, two rooms in our 30-year-old bungalow have black mould on the ceilings, along the windows, walls, over years. How can we solve this problem, please?
So I guess the direct answer to this one is when there's mould or when there's an issue like that is ventilation. Ventilation is key. Ventilation is an assessment that would need to be carried out and a starting point for that homeowner, checking that the correct ventilation is in the room. I'm going to assume and make one here that if it's two rooms in the house, is it possibly two bedrooms? And I'm happy for that homeowner to contact me. But if it's two bedrooms, you'd find it more common in bedrooms than you would in living spaces because they're better ventilated. But I suppose with black mold, we've got to be really, really careful here, Gerry. I mean, this, as we know, has health consequences. So I suppose, look, making sure the correct ventilation is in those rooms is key. And after that, then, we're checking to see if there's any water ingress. If there's water ingress or if there's any moisture coming in, the dew point where the wall meets the ceiling is obviously the most common point for this. So we have to be careful that there is nothing happening. And if there is no water, then we have to install ventilation and correct ventilation at that stage.
Will ventilation help with that if that's a problem? Then you need to address the problem anyway. But will ventilation be help with that situation of the dew point there and the water coming in?
It definitely will, Gerry. But I suppose, look, with the ventilation then, I suppose, look, we got to look at the insulation of that house and how well insulated it is, because obviously there's a situation where the cold is meeting the heat and it's developing mold. And I suppose, look, this is quite common in houses of a certain era and of a certain age because of the way they were constructed. That's not to say the ones being built today are any different, but there's different regulations, Gerry. There's different ways that we have to conform with the moisture regulations and things like that. So I suppose, look, it's ventilation. It's getting rid of that mould. There's some products there. I know in the paint section in Boyles, and if I could mention actually, Gerry, there's a sale in Boyles at the moment. They've been obviously very good to me over the years on bathroomware and things like that and furnishings. Get in there and have a look. But I suppose there is a bin primer, bin 4-5. I know that Pat in the paint section has given me that before. It's a product that's painted over the mould to such kill the mould.
Yeah.
You know, washing it down in some circumstances doesn't necessarily get rid of it. There may be a product that may need to be applied. So I suppose, look, wearing safety gear, wash it down 100%, but there's a product that can be applied to stop it from coming back. Venting the room, making sure the correct ventilation is in place, those are all little tips that will make that homeowner have a happier house.
Yeah, and you need, I suppose, the ventilation, like you're talking about maybe coring a vent rather than just having your windows open, because that doesn't all, and you can't do that at all times of the year either.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, there's so many different options with ventilation, from retrofitting a window vent to installing room vents, standalone room vents, to installing a mechanical ventilation system. And obviously these are all differently costed, Gerry, I suppose. There's different ways that you can do it, and there's cheaper ways that you can do it. But, I mean, an assessment of the entire house and coming up with a situation where it is super insulated but the ventilation isn't enough, then making a decision and spending some money on mechanical ventilation may be a good option for this homeowner. Now, there isn't grants available for individual ventilation systems. Venting a house has to meet the 2014 building regulations for any fabric upgrades for the house. So these are little things that have to be done. But the type of ventilation, there's a minimum to a maximum. I mean, installing ventilation systems can cost in three-bed bungalows, just to give homeowners figures, because they're always a good starting point, anything from 5,000 to 7,000 euros, depending on what's required. But that doesn't mean, Gerry, and I suppose this is key, installing a mechanical ventilation doesn't mean you don't open your windows. I don't know the exact fact and figures, but the general rule of thumb is that the windows would need to be opened three times a day for a minimum of 15 minutes. You still have to open windows to ventilate houses.
Yeah, and that's important, and it's a key part. And at this time of year in particular, that becomes an issue because people are trying to keep the heat in and all of those things. So that's the situation.
Yeah.
One other point, David, as we head into this winter, I know that there's reports about this, but people, the thermostats, like having it set to the right temperature is very important. Checking to see exactly what yours is at. You could be adding, you know, hundreds to your electricity bill because temperatures are too high in your house. And if you turn it down by 1 degree, you can save about 10% off your energy bill. So we're at a time of year when heat is coming on, even though it's been late this year, thankfully, because of the mild temperatures. But still, now's the time to make sure you have it at the right temperature.
Absolutely 100%, Gerry. I think having control over any heating system, whatever that heating system is, it doesn't matter what's heating your house, but having control over it is a massive way of saving yourself money. I mean, having the correct temperature in your house and having it timed correctly for the uses that you're there. Now, I know there's a lot of conversation two ways. One is maintenance of temperature is cheaper than acquiring a temperature. That's different in every house in this country. It's not specific, and it's not a general statement that can be made. I know my house, for example, I leave the thermostats at 19 to 20 degrees. I know every now and again they get turned up, but I know that in the times when I'm not in the house, my house is maintaining a temperature economically for the times that I'm in it, that it has a temperature that's acceptable within the house.
Yeah.
But every house is different. And heat pumps run differently to oil boilers and gas boilers, and electric heating runs differently to oil and gas boilers as well. Like we speak about storage heaters quite often, we always say storing the heat and having it work properly. So you know, setting it up for the winter months. I know it's quite mild at the moment, but in the next couple of weeks we're going to see the temperatures drop. We're going to be dropping until next March. Set your stats correct and it'll save you money.
Okay, David, listen, brilliant stuff as always. Thanks a million for answering all those queries. We'll get to the ones we didn't get to next month. That's David O'Sullivan, DC Energy Solutions, with us on the line.